The European Medicines Agency is reviewing safety information on the AstraZeneca vaccine and will meet on Thursday to issue a recommendation. A number of countries, including Ireland, the Netherlands, France, Germany and Italy, have suspended use of the COVID vaccine following concerns about blood clots. Up until last Friday, 124,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine had been administered here, many of them to healthcare workers. The inoculation of older people who receive different vaccines is scheduled to continue. We can talk now to Dr. Ray Wally, who's a Dublin GP and a member of the National COVID-19 GP Liaison Committee. Good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Rachel.
We know that the vaccination programme for older people hasn't been without problems. What's the situation this week?
Situation this week is that the GPs and the HSC have engaged and reviewed what has been happening over the last 2 weeks, and we prioritised to ensure that all of our over 85s are vaccinated for the second dose, and that the over 80s will receive the first dose, such that at the moment there's 130,000 people who have been vaccinated, and there will be another 58,000 vaccinated this week. The other thing that has happened is that with the engagement of the HSC, we're trying to reduce the amount of GP inputs into rationalising the vaccine to ensure that a lot of it is done in the back office by the HSC, and that we get improved notification on defined lists of who we will be vaccinating, to ensure that we are literally going down by age groups and cohorts nationally and not leaving anybody behind.
So should that mean then that fewer GPs are in a position where they have to ring people to cancel their vaccination appointment?
We would hope that that will be the output of this, that it'll be a more structured, rationalised system. Like, there will be some people, unfortunately, who will be disappointed. But I'll give you an example. I had four people who were in hospital who were over 85. So I was vaccinating patients, realised they couldn't get to the surgery. Some of this happened the day before and on the day. So as a result of that, we moved people from the next age group in. But what we're trying to do is make sure that nobody gets forgotten. So as a result of all of that, we're ensuring that patients in hospital, if they are well enough to get vaccinated, will be vaccinated in hospital. If they're not vaccinated in hospital, we will catch up with them. Those who were vaccinated in hospital will then have notification to the GP such that a second dose will be done. We've also now organising with the National Ambulance Service that patients who can't get the surgery, of which there's very few, there's approximately 1,800 in the whole country, and they're being vaccinated in-house by the National Ambulance Service or brought to a centre where they can be vaccinated. And I gather about 250 to 300 of those people have been vaccinated. And these, I believe, are the teething problems that you would have, learning from it, listening from the GPs and listening to the HSC, because there are massive operational and logistical issues with moving the Pfizer vaccine.
Is it fair to say, though, that because of some issues with the Moderna vaccine in particular, that some patients are likely to lose out in the coming days, that they're going to have to wait longer than they'd expected to?
Yes, there's a slight reduction in that. But the people who are due the second dose will be vaccinated on time. Possibly people who are thinking they would get a Moderna first vaccine may be replaced by a Pfizer vaccine. But the whole system is meant to be working on the basis of giving it to those who are at most risk, which unfortunately it works literally on the basis of age. Those at older age are the ones who unfortunately were most greatly affected by this virus. And what we're trying to do is be equitable in moving down the age groups.
Right, but just to be clear about this, the priority will be a second dose for the 85 and overs rather than giving a first dose, say, to somebody who's in their late 70s.
Yes, and with the Moderna to ensure the people who got the first dose will get the second dose.
I know that the plan had been for everybody in the over 70s age group to be fully vaccinated, that is, to have had two injections by the middle of May. Is that still likely, do you think?
The HSE, having tabulated the delivery of vaccine, have indicated that they believed that we were still on target to do mid-May vaccinations. AstraZeneca vaccine was not going to be one of the vaccines we were going to be giving to this group of population. So the delivery of Pfizer on Moderna should be sufficient to ensure that we can continue with a target of mid-May.
Right, so that should still be possible as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
Can I ask you, as you mentioned it, for your views on the AstraZeneca situation? Because it's clear that its suspension has disappointed a considerable number of people, especially people with chronic illnesses, with serious illnesses, who'd expected that in the coming days they would receive that first injection.
It is very disappointing. However, you know, we all, you know, sort of unfortunately, we all eat and sleep COVID these days, and we would have all been aware of the reports in the media internationally in Scandinavian countries and other countries. So the decision was made late on Saturday night, Sunday morning. General practice liaison personnel were contacted early on Sunday morning to talk to Colm Henry, and we wholeheartedly supported the temporary deferral because we see it as a precautionary safety alert. If this was not to occur, difficulty for us in general practice is like we're obviously dealing with non-COVID work, we're dealing with COVID work, and now we're dealing with vaccinations. And the problem is all time in the foam is time consuming. However, we do want people who are sick to ring in. But if we're then having to deal with clarifying what is happening, that would have not helped. Now, that's obviously not the reason why a decision was made to make a temporary deferral, but we do see it as a precautionary safety alert. Like 11 million of these doses have been given of Astra in the UK, 5 million or so in Europe. Having been an NHS GP for a number of years, 7 years myself, I'm only too aware of the robust systems in place to pick up difficulties with interactions. So, I am optimistic that the European Medicines Authority will decide in a positive manner at the end of the week, but they have access to the data, we don't, and it's very important that we maintain confidence in the programme. As you say, a significant number of people who have had the AstraZeneca vaccine have been healthcare workers. You know, so we among everybody else, are waiting to see what is the story with this, but we're equally aware that thrombosis is something which unfortunately can occur due to many, many different reasons. So we are willing to wait. We're delighted that, a difficult decision was made. We see it as a temporary deferral on the basis of a precautionary safety alert. And I think the right decision was made.
Have GPs been receiving many queries from people about the AstraZeneca vaccine? And I'm thinking in particular maybe of people who've received that vaccine in recent weeks and who perhaps have a history of blood clots.
In liaising with a number of GPs yesterday, basically we had very few interactions. And I think that is because there had been such a big debate on this in the media. It's been covered in the social media. It's been covered in the national media. And it's very evident. It's been part of a press conference yesterday. You know, difficult questions were asked and difficult questions were answered. You know, it's been a very transparent approach. And a lot of people are unfortunately learning that when you get on a long-haul flight, you can get a thrombosis, a clot. When you go for hip operations, you have the risk of pelvic operations, total hip replacements, any of those type of surgery. You have a history of potential clots. There are many, many different reasons, including inactivity. You have a history of potential clots. So the problem with this type of difficulty is they can occur in the natural phenomena anyway. I remember reading the review of one of the vaccines, and it was noted that something happened, but it was also noted that in a general population, you would have this amount of that, and it turned out when the vaccine was looked at that it was less of this event than you would normally see. So you have things like that reviewed. It is a very thorough review. You're now having many different agencies reviewing it, but I would be optimistic that by the end of the week, we will hopefully see it as a precautionary safety alert that was appropriate at the time. And I would hope that we will be vaccinating AstraZeneca vaccine in the next week or so, because we are dealing with a disease which is highly infectious, which also causes clots.
As you mentioned, that despite more than 10 weeks of restrictions, I think we'll be heading towards 11 weeks later on this week, the number of infections remains incredibly high. Why do you think that is?
Well, to a certain extent, we're emulating what happened last July and last November. We were on the way down, we plateaued, and to a certain extent, like, we're 1 year into this now. You know, not only are the medical staff exhausted and the nursing staff exhausted, any healthcare workers, the population are exhausted. Like, we all have family, we understand what is happening. And what we are seeing is that we have done incredibly well as a society. But, you know, we are now seeing, you know, there is a plateau, there's a slight blip. It is the same reasons why this blip is occurring. What has happened is that people have become comfortable with the situation, and our guard has been dropped. And it's the same potential congregating and not doing the simple basic tasks which are causing the infection again.
Have you noticed an increase in the number of referrals over the past 10 days or so?
I work in North Dublin, and again, in liaising with North Dublin GPs, there has been an increase in referrals. You know, the data that we receive nationally is reflective of what is happening on the ground. General practice, to some extent, is a canary in the mine, so we see it earlier. But what we are seeing is that younger people are congregating, younger people basically are unfortunately starting to bring the infection home to the older people. So that's the big concerning thing here, is that not only are younger people getting infected, but now older people are being referred. Indeed, I'm aware of one practice yesterday that had 15 referrals for two GPs, and that's a significant number considering that the week before there may be only one or two. So, but this is something which is happening. And you can see it in the data in different areas. Certainly in North Dublin, the levels have been at the order of about 300 per 100,000. So we need to refocus where we are in all of this. We can do this. We need to bring it down. We need to watch what's happening in Europe. There is a great incentive for us to bring this down, and we can do it.
It's a year, as you say, since the true threat from this virus became apparent. Do you get a sense that at this stage, many people are just worn out from all of this? I mean, in terms of the contacts you have as a GP, you're probably in a better position than many of us to monitor people's mood. Do you get a sense that at this stage, you know, there are a lot of people who are just sick, sore and tired?
People are fed up. Their lives have totally been changed. A lot of people have become isolated, but you know, the greater majority of people, though, will say to you, you know, you need to be keeping saying the same message, and we can do this. And we have come from being the highest in Europe to now we're down lower down the ratings, but we need to continue. And the greater majority of people will say they want us to do this. You know, so it literally, we've got to understand the danger of congregating indoors. We've got to understand how a mask can protect you, how washing your hands can protect you, how good ventilation can protect you, how ensuring that if you have broke the rules that you basically stay away from your nearest and dearest. We do need to adopt, in the same way we do in a general practice setting, a buddy system whereby you watch over each other. And it's not to be destructively critical when you get it wrong. It's to be constructive, because it could save lives. Like, you know, I'm afraid when we work in a hub or go to see somebody who is very sick, we'll put on the appropriate PPE and we'll look at each other to see, is there any opening there? Now, obviously, the ordinary layperson isn't going to be wearing PPE, but the simple measures of keeping your distance, wearing a mask, good ventilation, washing your hands. And another point that is happening at the moment is, again, people are delaying coming to the general practitioner. They're getting some upper respiratory tracts and symptoms, like a runny nose, like a basic cough, like, you know, sort of minimal symptoms, and they believe it's their yearly cold or whatever. At the moment, what we realize is that with this variant, that you can get minimal respiratory symptoms as a presentation. So if you are ill in any way, you need to assume COVID and you need to isolate early and you need to contact your general practitioner immediately.
Dr. Ray Wally, thank you very much for joining us this morning.